Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're talking about hot chocolate. Hot chocolate. Boy, wasn't that like a disco band from the 70s?
I don't know.
From England. Hot chocolate. I remember those when I was very small as a kid, they're hearing hot chocolate. Uh-huh. No, we're actually talking about something that you can enjoy, hot chocolate, which is usually drunk. But here, hot chocolate food kind of refers to chocolate itself, not just a drink of chocolate, but actually something you can eat. It's hot. It's something that people enjoy. It's really popular. And we're going to be talking about the history of chocolate, its sweet history.
Yeah, a lot of times when something's popular, we'll describe it as being hot. But I don't mind that we're talking about chocolate today, I have to admit. I enjoy chocolate myself. We're going to talk about the history of chocolate, and we're saying it has a sweet history.
Have you ever had raw chocolate before?
I have. It's not very sweet. I like it after sugar has been added.
Right. That's most people don't know about that, but chocolate in its original form is not sweet at all.
No.
The chocolate that we're most familiar with that we buy in convenience stores and stuff like that has lots of stuff added to it, like sugar and milk and things.
Uh-huh.
So
butter.
It's quite different. I'd actually like to try the raw stuff myself.
Really?
Sure. I understand it's actually quite healthful if you have raw chocolate.
Now, do you like dark chocolate?
I tend to prefer dark chocolate, yes.
Dark chocolate is more, it's more similar, of course,
okay,
to the original chocolate. It's a little bit bitter for me, but hot chocolate is actually good for you. Milk chocolate that's found in candy and candy bars is not healthy.
It's not, but we'll talk about chocolate today. It is possible to have chocolate in a healthy way. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of our lesson for today, and then we'll come back to discuss it.
Chocolate reigns supreme as the most popular treat in the world, and hot chocolate is often regarded as a heartwarming and tantalizing drink. Yet this frothy beverage began its existence as neither a sweet drink nor a staple in cafes. Rather, it was a ritualistic beverage of the ancient Maya and Aztec nobility, long before it reached Europe. The word chocolate was a Spanish attempt at recreating the word chocolatl. It is likely a compound of the Mayan word chocol, which means bitter, and the Aztec word otl, which signifies water. True to its name, the first cocoa bean drink was bitter and spicy, rather than sweet. By the time that Spaniard Hernan Cortes conquered part of Mexico in 1519, chocolatl had been popular in Mesoamerica for centuries. When Cortes sipped the drink in the court of the Aztec king Moctezuma II, he loved it and had it shipped back to Spain. It found favor with royalty and the well-off in the courts of Spain, and soon spread to other European nations. There it was mixed with sugar and milk to appease the European palate, and hot chocolate, as we recognize it today, was born. The Maya and Aztecs used chocolate to treat diarrhea and to stave off fatigue. Modern researchers have uncovered several other health benefits to the consumption of dark chocolate. Among them are improvements to blood circulation, relief of blood pressure, mood enhancement, and a lower risk of heart disease. However, chocolate is easily overconsumed, which can cause heartburn and obesity. If you want to experience the sweet taste of joy this dessert brings, remember to enjoy it with a healthy dose of moderation.
Okay, let's explain the contents of today's lesson right now. In our unit on food, we're talking about hot chocolate. Hot chocolate's sweet history. Of course, chocolate is sweet, but not in its original form, which we'll get to in just a second. And if we're talking about treats, we're talking about sweet things that we enjoy sometimes. Usually they're things that we get as a result of accomplishing something, doing something great. A treat. My parents used to say, hey, we'll let you have a treat today. You've been a good boy. Oh, boy, can I have some ice cream? Great, that's a wonderful treat. And here we're saying that chocolate reigns supreme as the most popular treat in the world. So it reigns supreme here. Rain here is not referring to the wet stuff that falls from the sky during the winter, mostly here in Taipei. But reign supreme here, reign is spelled R-E-I-G-N, which is a verb that means a king or an emperor or a queen or an empress rules over a certain country or kingdom to reign over China, for example. We could say what Kangxi reigned over China for a long time. And reign supreme here, supreme just means it's the highest position, nobody can beat it. So it reigns supreme, it's the most popular treat in the world.
Yeah, you can also use reign to talk about being the best or the most powerful thing or person. I could say as a director, Ang Lee still reigns supreme, he is still the best. Well, chocolate reigns supreme is the most popular treat in the world. I think a lot of people love chocolate. And hot chocolate is often regarded, or people think of it, as heartwarming. It makes you feel good inside. It's also described here as being a tantalizing drink. If something is tantalizing, it makes people feel a lot of excitement or interest. They find something really attractive or appealing. Chocolate can really tempt you. And hot chocolate is something you definitely want to drink when it's a cold winter's day.
Right. Tantalizing, of course, is from a Greek legend, the king Tantalus, who was tempted by fruit. He kept reaching for it, but the fruit kept backing away from him. So that's where this word comes from. Uh-huh. And yes, it's tantalizing. You'd like to have it, but you know you shouldn't, because it's fattening, and yet this frothy beverage began its existence as neither a sweet drink nor a staple in cafes. So here, yet, still, even though this frothy beverage began its existence not as a sweet drink, which we'll get to in a second here, but it began its existence, we're describing this drink as frothy. Frothy means it's got lots of little tiny bubbles. Mm-hmm. For example, we can describe your cappuccino or your latte as being very frothy because it's got that foam on top of it. And existence means that something actually exists, that it is here, that it is living, or it has reality.
Now, if you're talking about something being a staple, this just means an important type of food that's eaten often. For example, in Asia, rice is a staple. In America or the North America region of the world, you could say that bread is a staple. Wheat, you know, we love that. So in some places, it's really considered a staple to have hot chocolate. But it didn't begin that way, right? So it began its existence as neither a sweet drink nor a staple. It wasn't either of these things. How did it begin? How did it start its life here on Earth? Well, it began as a ritualistic beverage of two ancient peoples called the Maya and the Aztec, but only for the nobility. The nobility, of course, refers to the group of people in a society that are the highest social class in some countries, the aristocracy, we could also say. Now, if it's ritualistic, it's something that's done again and again and again. Some people always have the same routine. They have a daily ritual, perhaps in the morning, where they get up, they go exercise, they get back home, they take a shower, they eat breakfast, and they go to work. That's a ritual. Well, you could have a ritual in the morning of drinking maybe hot chocolate every day. A beverage, of course, is just a type of liquid that we drink. It's a more formal word. You could say, you know, I'm going to have a beverage, or I'm just going to have a hot chocolate. Here we like to say yin liao a lot. You know, what beverage would you like to drink? But we do use it, so you should be familiar with this word beverage.
I could say food and beverages are not allowed in the MRT system, for example.
Oh, no.
And this was a ritual or a ritualistic beverage of some Indian civilizations in Mesoamerica or Central America, the ancient Maya, and the Aztec. They were consuming chocolate there long before it went to Europe here. So Maya, they were what, in Mexico there, in Guatemala?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And the Aztecs were in central Mexico. And there you have it. So that's where chocolate came from, basically central Mesoamerica there. And the word chocolate was a Spanish attempt at recreating the word chocolatl.
It is likely a compound of the Mayan word chocol, which means bitter, and the Aztec word otl, which translates as water. Now, if you talk about a compound, it means you're putting two things together. So we've got chocol, which means bitter. Bitter is kind of nasty tasting. It's the opposite of sweet. So they're saying that this particular thing, chocolatl, tastes bitter, and it's kind of like water, so it's bitter water. The Aztecs have the word otl, which translates as, or can be translated into, the word water. I don't know if I'd want to drink bitter water. It doesn't sound very appealing.
And true to its name, the first cocoa bean drink was bitter and spicy rather than sweet. So it's true to its name. Basically, it means that it is an honest representation of what the words are trying to describe here. Basically, it was bitter and spicy rather than sweet. It was bitter and spicy and not sweet. So I think most of us, if we tried the original kind of chocolate, we probably would have spit it right back out.
I know.
It would have been so bitter and spicy. But hey, I'd like to try that. I'd like to try what the original chocolate tasted like. I bet it was pretty tasty. I bet you could get used to it after drinking it for some time. Well, we've all been working very hard and listening to us explain this stuff, and it's been very hard for us to explain this stuff to you. So it's time for us now to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll come right back.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about hot chocolate, sweet history, where chocolate came from, and how it started out as sort of a ritualistic beverage of some ancient Indian tribes. It was their nobility, the aristocracy, the highest social class that was drinking it. And actually, they had it long before the Europeans ever heard of it. So this word chocolate was a Spanish attempt at coming up with a word to describe what hot chocolate tasted like to them. And they thought it was bitter and kind of a fluid or a liquid, so it was bitter water to them. And that's how they came up with this idea. And back then, chocolate or hot chocolate wasn't sweet and wonderful. It was bitter and spicy. Kind of strange, huh?
Yeah, pretty strange there. And, you know, we're mentioning Europe here because I think when we talk about chocolate, most people think that, oh, chocolate, that comes from Europe, right? From Switzerland or Belgium. They've got the world's best chocolate there. So we're kind of pointing out that, no, the Europeans did not invent chocolate. It actually began in Central America there, and the Europeans did something to it to make it more popular. But in any case here, yes, the word chocolate comes from Mayan and from Aztec. It basically means bitter water, chocolatl, chocolate. And so we've got the Spanish going into the New World, and by the time that Spaniard Hernan Cortes conquered part of Mexico in 1519, chocolatl had been popular in Mesoamerica for centuries. So by the time, we could say when this Spaniard Hernan Cortes conquered part of Mexico way back in 1519, chocolate was already popular there in Mexico. We should mention here that Spaniard here refers to somebody from Spain. He's a Spaniard. Hernan in Spanish, you say Hernan Cortes, but there's an H there, so lots of people will pronounce the H there. It doesn't really matter. And to conquer means that some kind of a political force, an army, basically takes over another country. And in this case, Cortes conquered part of Mexico. He took over, controlled part of Mexico, not all of it, but a good chunk of it, way back in 1519.
Yeah, but by the time that happened, chocolatl had been popular in Mesoamerica for centuries, hundreds of years. So as Tom said, by that time or by the time that something happened is the period of time when something happens. I could say I had lived in three countries by the time I turned 21, or when I was 21 years old, I had already lived in three different countries. So by the time this Spaniard conquered part of Mexico, in 1519, hey, they had already been enjoying chocolatl for many, many, many years in Mesoamerica. Well, what happened when the Spaniard had a taste? Well, when he sipped the drink in the court of the Aztec king Moctezuma II, he loved it. So I guess he liked that bitter, spicy taste from the very beginning. And that's when he decided to ship some back to his country of Spain. He wanted the Spanish folks to have some as well. To sip means you drink a liquid kind of slowly, only take in small amounts into your mouth. A lot of people will like to sip their tea or sip their wine. Or if your coffee's really hot, you don't want to gulp it down, which means to take a big swallow of it. You'll want to sip it until it cools down a little bit. He sipped this drink in the court of a king. The court is a place where the king or leader of a country, especially a king or a queen, lives and works. It's their court.
It's also where people play tennis and basketball.
True.
But the Aztec king Moctezuma probably did not play tennis or basketball. Here it's just referring to the place where the king is, the court. And hey, Cortez loved it. And he said, hey, thanks, King Moctezuma. Thanks for letting me try this tea here, or this chocolate, rather.
It rocks, yeah.
It rocks. He loved it, so he sent it back to España, to Spain. And there it found favor with royalty and the well-off in the courts of Spain. So, yes, it found favor with. To find favor with just means they liked it. They thought it was great. They had a favorable opinion of it. Hey, what's this stuff from the New World? It's pretty tasty. Let's get some more. And so royalty, the people who, you know, are the kings and the queens, the princes and the princesses, and the well-off, that means people who are rich, basically. Hey, your uncle's pretty well-off, isn't he? He owns several villas on Yamingshan. Yes, so here the royalty and the rich, the well-off in Spain, they loved it, and it took off there like wildfire and spread to other European nations, Portugal, France, Germany, etc.
Now, we're using the verb find favor with, but you could also use gain favor with. So favor just refers to some sort of approval or support by people, something that's popular. The politician's ideas have gained favor with the citizens of Taiwan. Many people like his or her ideas. Here we're using find favor with, and again, it just means people really enjoy something. They approve of it. They support it. So the royalty and the rich people, or the wealthy in the courts of Spain, really liked it. And soon, this popularity spread to other European nations. Now, what did the Europeans do? Well, they decided, well, it's pretty good, but I think it could be better.
Yeah.
So we're going to mix some of this chocolato with sugar and milk to appease the European palate. If you appease somebody or something, it means you make them pleased by something you do. It gives them something that they desire. We'll often use it to talk about making someone less angry. If someone's not in a good mood, you may want to appease them by doing something nice for them to calm them down. Well, since that hot chocolate started out as kind of bitter and spicy, it wasn't that popular at first, so they wanted to make it better and appease the European palate, so they changed it a little bit. Your palate, of course, is your sense of taste. And different regions of the world have different palates, you can say. We like different things.
Right, the way the Europeans liked it, so they had to appease their tastes in Europe there, so they added sugar and milk to it. That's probably what they did to coffee as well. Coffee's pretty bitter, so you got to make it sweeter and more interesting by adding milk to it. And the hot chocolate that we recognize today was born. To recognize something means that you know what it is when you see it. Like for a person, for example, hey, Tom, don't you know me? Don't you remember me from high school? I'm sorry, I don't recognize you. That happened to me, actually, at a class reunion. Yeah, Scott Benjamin came up to me. Oh, Tom, long time no see. I'm sorry, but I don't recognize you.
Who are you?
He actually had a haircut, and he had lost a lot of weight and was muscular. He used to be a big fat boy back in high school, so I did not recognize him.
Well, good for him. Well, let's get back to our article. We have the Maya and the Aztecs. Those are those ancient Indian people. They used chocolate to treat diarrhea. and to stave off fatigue. Diarrhea is that condition that you get when you've eaten something that your stomach doesn't really like, or maybe you have the flu, and it causes you to pass waste from your body that's in a liquid form rather than a solid form. La duzza, we hate that. They also use chocolate to stave off fatigue. To stave off is kind of a formal verb phrase, but we do use it. It means you're going to keep something away or somebody away for a short time. Wow, I'm really hungry. I'm going to eat a banana to stave off my hunger until I can get home to eat. Here they wanted to keep fatigue away. Fatigue is a state of being very, very tired, extremely weary.
Indeed, and of course people nowadays drink coffee to stave off fatigue. Even some people chew betel nuts, although we don't condone that. But some people actually eat chocolate to keep themselves alert and ready to work long hours at the office when the boss makes you work overtime until 1 a.m. or something like that and expects you to come back at 7 in the morning. But in any case here, chocolate is useful for that, treating diarrhea. I don't know about that. Have you ever had diarrhea and had chocolate?
I've never thought to eat chocolate if I have diarrhea, no.
Okay, I don't know how valid that is. You might want to try it the next time you have diarrhea, but modern researchers have uncovered several other health benefits to the consumption of dark chocolate. So in other words, researchers have conducted various scientific experiments, and they have found that if you eat dark chocolate, if you consume dark chocolate, then you will have other health benefits. Consumption here is the noun form of consuming things, which means you eat or drink things or use things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe the doctor has recommended that you reduce your consumption of sugar, or maybe the doctor has recommended that you reduce your consumption of chocolate because you're having too much. But there are some health benefits to the consumption of dark chocolate. Notice here we're saying dark chocolate, folks, not milk chocolate that you find in candy or candy bars that we love. What are some of those health benefits? Let's talk about some of the improvements to your health. An improvement is something that makes something better. Maybe it's an addition or a change to something that can make something better or more valuable. I've made some improvements to my apartment, I could say. Well, if you want to make some improvements to your health, you might consider consuming some dark chocolate.
And if you consume dark chocolate, there may be some improvements in your blood circulation if you have problems with that. Blood, of course, is the red stuff inside your body. Circulation means it goes around and around. Sometimes people have problems with that. They don't have good blood circulation, so maybe they head down to a hot spring and soak in it to increase or improve their blood circulation. Also, dark chocolate can give you relief of blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, that can be a problem. You're at risk of heart disease there or heart attack if you have high blood pressure. So chocolate may help you reduce that blood pressure. Remember, it's dark chocolate that will do this. I think normal chocolate will probably not help at all.
No, it'll just make you fat.
And also, I understand that chocolate is good if you're kind of depressed, if you're kind of sad. So here it says it will show improvements in mood enhancement. Your mood is how you feel. Oh, I'm in a good mood today, or I'm in a bad mood today. Yeah. I'm not feeling very well emotionally. And enhancement here just means kind of increasing the quality or value of something slowly. So enhancing your mood, it makes you feel a little happier. It doesn't totally change your mood. We're talking about giving you a good mood here if you're kind of blue and down in the dumps. Maybe you want to eat some dark chocolate and you'll feel a little happier.
Yeah, it could improve your mood, hopefully. It can also lower the risk of heart disease. If you have heart disease, you're probably at risk for having a heart attack, which is a tough way to go. So maybe this could help you lower your risk so you'll be in better shape. Now, here are some warnings we have for you. However, even though those things are true, this is also true. Chocolate is easily overconsumed. To overconsume something means you eat too much of it. It can be addictive, which means it has some sort of quality to it that makes you want to go back to it again and again. A lot of good things can be addictive. People find food addictive or video games addictive. Gambling can be addictive. I tend to overconsume foods that I find addictive myself. So be careful. If you overconsume or eat too much, this can cause heartburn and obesity. Heartburn is that feeling of not digesting your food very well, so it comes back up through your throat and it burns. That liquid that comes back up from your stomach is acid that is produced by eating the wrong types of things, and chocolate's one of them, and it can really hurt. So be careful with the heartburn. Obesity is the state of being overfat. In fact, if you're obese, it's pretty dangerous. You're at risk of actually dying young. So be careful if you are obese. That's the adjective form. Obesity is the noun form.
So don't overconsume chocolate. Even too much dark chocolate is a bad thing. And so, yes, it causes heartburn and obesity. So if you want to experience the sweet taste of joy this dessert brings, remember to enjoy it with a healthy dose of moderation. Okay, so indeed, you might want to enjoy chocolate or hot chocolate, and indeed, some people add sugar to it. So you must enjoy it in moderation. Moderation just means not too much, okay? Controlling it. They used to say this back when I was in college, of course. If you're a college student, you like to go to parties and stuff. At least at my university, people like to party. So they'd say, well, yes, you can drink beer and stuff like that, but moderation, okay? If you drink too much, you're going to start throwing up and you're going to have a hangover, and that's no good.
Oh, dear. If you talk about a dose of something, usually we use it to talk about the amount of medicine that you're supposed to take, or maybe a drug or vitamin that's taken at one time, so a dose. So remember, be reasonable. Moderation is when you don't do something that's extreme. You don't go beyond what's normal or acceptable, that you're smart about it. So don't be silly and just have a diet filled with chocolate, even dark chocolate, because that won't be good for you. But generally speaking, I think we've learned that chocolate can be good for you, right?
Right. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So I wonder where I can buy raw chocolate, or at least a chocolate that is extremely dark. I'd like to try it the way the Mayans enjoyed it. That would be quite an experience. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our program for today. Thanks for having us in your living room today. Hopefully you learned as much as we did. Make sure you join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.